play, and you just take that time to prepare your heart and your minds for what God's going to do today.
Thank you for joining us for Resurrection Day worship. I'm so glad that you're here today. Hey, listen, if you're one of our kiddos, I hope that you'll look online and get one of those kid sermon sheets. And if you will, draw me a picture, color me a picture, and then text it to me, send it to me, so I can put it on my wall over at my office, and I can remember this day because you were a part of this day with me. And by the way, if you're a guest here today and you just want us to know that you're a part, maybe you're watching from Kansas City, some of our friends are, maybe you're just from someone local here, from Hueytown or in the surrounding area, there's a connection card link that's right there on your viewfinder. Why don't you just snap it real quick and let us know who you are so I can just shoot you a quick email and say thank you for being a part of Resurrection Day worship. You know, King David looked forward to resurrection. And the Bible tells us this. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter was preaching what King David predicted. Here's what he said. He says, "Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and he was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne, and seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, and nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. He's exalted to the right hand of God. He has been received from the Father and has poured out the promised Holy Spirit, which we now see and hear." He goes on to say this, "For David did not ascend to heaven, but yet he said, 'The Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, I'll make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' The greatest enemy of all, death, has been defeated, has been conquered because of Resurrection Day." Oh, I'm so thankful that you're here. Let's pray to the Lord. Let's worship him. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that you came back from the grave. It could not contain you. It could not hold you. We thank you, Lord, that the power of sin was broken on Resurrection Day. We thank you, Lord, today that we have a hope. Those of us who know you, O God, we have a hope that one day when our bodies wear out, their eternity will be sealed with you in the heavenlies. And so today we worship you. Oh God, we rejoice in this new life. We thank you for so great a salvation. Lord, we honor the author and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray now that you receive our praise. We ask, O Lord, that you will fill every household, every family, every father, every mother, every son, every daughter, every couple, every single person, Lord, every guest, every Valley Creeker. We pray, God, today that you'll just do a super abundant work of drawing people to yourself as we worship you on this holy day, Easter Sunday morning. We love you, Lord. Thank you that we get to worship a risen Savior. For we ask it, we pray it, we confess it in Jesus' name. Our resurrected Lord, our soon coming King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance in by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
And if you know it, sing along with us. Praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, oh, stars they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave, his heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power fell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the storm was rolled away. This perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. The ground. Bye. sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Lamb is overcome.
Well, Father, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. It may look different than years past, Lord, but you're no different today than you were last year, and you were 1,000 years ago, Father. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. Draw us in close, Lord, today. Fill our lives with your presence. Fill our homes with your presence. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Man, that was good, wasn't it? Being able to sing to the Lord. Rejoice in the God of our resurrection. You know, I've been thinking, but if I could get one glimpse of anything, if I could get just one look, one preview of anything, what would that be? For me, I'm sure like for you, especially on this day, it would be of heaven. It would be of glory. It would be of the life to come. In Revelation chapter 5, going to pull one verse, but going to go lots of different directions today to form one truth. Down here in verse 13, here's what the scripture says, is it gives us a preview of the glory to come, of the heaven that will be ours. The scripture says that I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in all the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the elders fell down and worshiped him. You know, you sometimes wonder what exactly is heaven like. Some of us have these imaginations, and many of them may be accurate. Some of them maybe not so much. We think about angels. We think about clouds. Maybe rainbows and unicorns and, you know, horns or trumpets or harps. We think about translucent spirits, you know, that are floating aimlessly around a place of happiness. You know, we need to get a picture of this because this is what resurrection means to us. Resurrection takes us to a place where there's life. Resurrection takes us to a place where there's eternal life. And God in his word, through the book of Revelation and many other places, gives us a preview of that to which is to come. He also gives us a sense of what we can expect. He tells us in his word that resurrection has made it possible for you and I to live forever and ever in his heaven. You know, Paul told us once in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said that he knew a man that had been lifted up to the third heaven. He went on to describe some of those experiences. He said there were sounds that he could not repeat, and there were words that were inexpressible, and the whole scene itself was something that, as a preview, he could not escape, but he was never allowed to speak about it. They were too lofty, they were too large, they were too big. And he said, if I talked about it, I would become boastful. I would start taking pride in that. You see, God gives us a glimpse of heaven, and when he does, it closes our mouths because we see the great glory that he has promised to you and I. I've often wondered, what does heaven look like? And you may be even asking here this morning, how does a person get there? And who exactly will be in heaven? And if you have this sense of nagging in you that says, you know, I've done a lot of things in this old world, you know. I've been a happy kind of person. I mean, I pursued the job that I've wanted. I found the person of my dreams, or I'm still looking, I'm in search. We've had this wonderful family. I'm liked, I've got some friends, I'm around family. You can think of all the things in this world that have been so good and so amazing, so overwhelming, but yet you might have an ache in you. You may still have an emptiness in you. You may still have a sense of nagging in you that there's got to be something more. The whole book of Ecclesiastes speaks of this. In that book, the Bible talks about those who live under the sun or into the horizon of eternity. And when they look at things that are around them and all the many pursuits that gives them pleasure and accomplishment, yet there's this nagging sense that there's something more. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says that God has set eternity in all of our hearts. And so here today on Easter morning, on this day, wouldn't it be wise for us to search out our hearts and say, Lord, there is something more, and you've resurrected us to a new and living hope. What does that hope look like? How can I know for sure that I'll inherit that hope? Well, today I want you to have that question answered, because everybody wants to go to heaven. American surveys have told us this, that most people believe that there is a heaven, and more people even believe that they're heading there. It's pretty amazing, you know? But how do we know for certain? And how can we have that assurance? You know, this book of Revelation is consumed with heaven. It's really a book about heaven. And I know that you can make charts and you can get lists and you can kind of figure out some things along the way. But I just want to give you the overview. I want to give you the takeaway. I want to give you the gist. And the gist of this is that there is an eternity. Are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? I want to give you just a couple reasons why you want to go to heaven today. Okay, why you want to experience personal resurrection and why that really matters. The first reason is this, is because the world is broken. Now, you already know this. I mean, right now we're in the midst of a pandemic. And the most recent stats that I've looked at, over 110,000 people all around the world have lost their lives to this virus. Even here in the United States, there are thousands of people who have lost their lives. So what's up with all this mess in this world? Now, think about this. You know, if a picture paints 1,000 words, then if we were to take a moment and look at creation, it would fill us with millions of words. It truly would. When you think about all that God has made, and you can read in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the perfection of everything that he accomplished, where the Bible says that everything he made was absolutely pure, awe-striking, so to speak. Everything was according to his design, so much so that when he looked at what he had made, the Bible says that he stepped back and he said, that's good. And when he made man in the likeness of his own image, and when he created that first family, he stepped back and he said, now that is very good. Everything flawless, everything perfect, everything according to design, just as God had foreordained. But you know, that perfection slipped away. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that the reason was that as one man's sin entered into the world. You see, the world was broken at that moment. And things happened that were cataclysmic in our own earth itself. It's no wonder that the Bible says that even now that the earth groans for fulfillment, that it wants pure redemption and resurrection even of its own. Indeed, paradise was lost. And so we have disease now, we have disaster now, we have death now. And COVID-19 is just one illustration of that, that earth is not heaven. This is not utopia. And even the beautiful beaches of Guam right now, you can look off out of a hotel room and you can see the pristine seacoast as one of those who have been quarantined from a ship of 5,000 men exposed to that disease. So we can even look around now and know that our world is broken. But now is our world broken, we are too. We're broken people. If you were to look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12 a little bit further, you would find out that the Bible says, as Adam sinned, so sin entered the world, and death by sin. And I tell you one thing, there's no denying this, that when Adam sinned, there was a separation created, there was a relational breach that resulted, there was damage and paradise was lost, there became toil and pain and curse. But God gave a way back, even to Adam and even to Eve. He clothed them when they were on the run, when they were so ashamed, when they deliberately covered themselves, when they were even finding some sense of solace in blaming each other. The Bible says that God, in his kindness and through his grace and by his forgiveness, they clothed them with the skin of animals. So he showed redemption. He showed grace at that moment. You know, sometimes we think that if we just live good in a broken world. And even though that we're broken people, if we can do our very best just to be good, then all is going to be well. But that's impossible. That's not just difficult. I mean, just look around us. We see courthouses, we see jails, we see stop signs, we have security cameras. I mean, all around us, we see that the brokenness of this world has infiltrated our lives, and we have to admit that we too are broken. My father rebuilt locomotives. He had his own business, and I can remember when I worked for him, he would, we'd work on projects, and we had to go to the tool room. Now, that was kind of odd to me because all we ever did was work with tools, but we had to go to a tool room for particular tools to work on my dad's locomotives. And one day, because I was so naive as a junior high kid, I said, "Dad, why in the world do we have a tool room? Why don't you just give everybody what tools they need?" And he said, "Bob, I lose my tools. People steal my stuff." And that blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. Are you telling me that you give people jobs and they steal your stuff? Yeah, there's sin in the world. And by the way, I've got to admit to you that as a young boy that was dispatched to the dairy dell with my brother and sisters to take that walk every day after school to go pick up a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread, I lifted a few Mounds bars along the way, to be honest with you. This little innocent fella me, you know. I've been guilty of the very same thing in my backstory. I did cheat on algebra tests along the way. I did take a football jersey that didn't belong to me after the season was over and got found out. I mean, listen, all of us have to admit it's true. Romans 3:10 is true that all have sinned and none of us is without fault. And we can't fix our fallenness. And goodness cannot repair it. See, another reason that I need to go to heaven, I want to go to heaven, it's not just because the world is broken and I am broken, it's because death is real. I mean, here we are in home and shelter existence. And families can talk about the upside, and there is an upside. Maybe now that you've got some extra time, you can say some things and do some things and enjoy one another under a quarantine. And I think that's fantastic. I hope that you're taking advantage of that. Maybe you're reading a lot more and studying a lot more. Maybe you're picking up a hobby. But yet, millions of people have lost their jobs. All kinds of people are being thrown in a financial hardship. And I've been told as I read some things that there's an uprising of domestic violence and that there's an increasing reality of child abuse in the home. I mean, the evidences of sinfulness are all around us. Sin devastates everything. It devastates life. It devastates relationships, economics, and politics, and especially our relationship with God. See, when Adam sinned, what died? His body didn't die, but it would. His spirit died. His relationship with God died. And the curse would mean that he too, his body would be placed into the dust from which it came. So the reason I want to go to heaven is because that's the truth. No one wants to talk about that. That's not a subject of conversation. We don't sit around our dinner tables or our college campuses or with our friends or our teammates and talk about the realities of death. As a matter of fact, that's where the room gets quiet. That's where we kind of keep our words to ourselves. We don't know exactly what to say. We try to ignore those realities. But you see, another reason I want to get to heaven and I want to go to heaven and I know that the resurrected Lord provides it is because God is love. I know it's foundational. I know it's very simple. I know that you've heard it. It's 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. This is not new to you. You learned this in vacation Bible school if you've ever gone. If you're a Sunday school graduate, you know that's true. God is love. I got caught speeding one day. I didn't mean to. It was really kind of accidental. I wasn't paying any attention. No excuse, but I had to go to car court. Never been to car court? Oh, lots of fun. Lots of people in car court. And then you have to stand up in the middle of car court and the judge tells you what the charges are against you. And then you got to make a plea. Everybody's there. You don't even know some of these folks. All of them. I don't want to know anybody. I want to put a sack over my head. And I admitted my guilt and I was sentenced from car court to car class. And I went to car class for about 6 hours, maybe eight. Oh goodness, it was horrible. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was shameful. Couldn't believe it. There I was. And I paid the price. I did the time. And you know what? Ever since that day, I have not even walked into Jefferson County Courthouse to the car court there and said to anyone, hey, anybody here guilty of speeding, let me pay your fine. Let me go to car class for you. I'll take that punishment, you know. I'll be that kind of good friend to you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, listen, none of us would die for someone that was unworthy, and few of us would even offer our lives for someone that was maybe good. But you see, here's the interesting thing that I read when I read the Word of God, that God is love, and He proves it, He demonstrates it, He shows it. He's loving, and so even when Adam runs from God, God runs toward him. Even when Adam hides from God, God runs toward him. See, God is altogether righteous, but He still loves us. God is altogether holy, but He still loves us. God is sometimes severe, but God is always faithful. You know, the penalty is not excused. It was paid. But we don't need to die in our sin. And this is the final reason that you and I need to go to heaven. We want to go to heaven. We want to be sure that we're in heaven because resurrection provides it. What happened to the perfect Lamb of God was brutal. It was horrible. The Bible says that from noon to 3, the skies grew dark and the light could not be seen as the Son of Man became the sin offering of the world. That sin had to be paid for, but with that came the sense that ever since Adam's sin, that there was an overwhelming fear in all of our lives. The writer of Hebrews talks about it. He says, now the power of sin had to be overthrown. Why? Because we feared death, the power of death. So God had to have the final say. It wasn't just about the penalty of sin being atoned for. It was the power of sin being broken. And that is what the empty tomb is all about. Because you see, all of us can be fearful of death. Man, we don't want to say much about that. We want to broach that conversation. But resurrection assures us that death does not have power over us. You know, Jesus already demonstrated His power over death. He raised up a little fellow from a city called Nain. And He also resurrected a girl that was dead. And His good friend Lazarus, He raised her from the dead. And there are some people, when they point to John chapter 11 and verse 35, they say, why did Jesus weep? Because He loved His friend. Listen, there's another reason Jesus wept. It's because no one realized that He was the resurrection and the life. That caused them to cry. Here I am in their midst. I proved myself to them. Time and again, I've left nothing back. I've held nothing back. I've demonstrated the power of God even over death. But for your sake and for His glory, Lazarus will come out of that grave. Wow. Wow. And Jesus did come forth. And if you read 1 Corinthians 15, you know that that third day is irrefutable. 500 witnesses over a 40-day stretch and even more saw the Lord, heard His words, even had breakfast and shared some meals. The resurrection of Jesus meant everything. He said to His disciples during the Lord's Supper these words, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus is preparing a place for you, and He's preparing you for that place. It's the place of heaven. His victory guarantees your victory. Your victory over death. And just like the grave could not hold Him, it will not hold you. His resurrection is your resurrection. Now, before we go, turning once again to Revelation. We saw a little picture at the front side of Revelation chapter 5, but let's really take a look at what you can see about heaven, because heaven is a place. In Revelation chapter 21, we see a picture. Even in chapter 22, one day I'm going to dissect all of this for you. It is glorious. It's amazing. It's astounding. It's overwhelming. It'll make you shout for joy. The Bible says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because this earth is broken. He's going to make a new you as well. Why? Because you and I are broken. And what's He going to do? He's going to overcome all of these things because of His resurrection. The first heaven and the first earth passed away. There was no longer any sea. You know what a sea is in the Bible? A sea is a time of separation. A sea says that there's an isolation. A sea says that you cannot reach where you want to go. And God says, no longer any sea between you and me. No longer any distance between me and you. We will be together. That's what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you that you will be with me. I will come back and retrieve you unto myself, that you shall be with me. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Can you show us? Jesus says, I'm the way. And there'll come a time that you will be in his glory if you know the way. I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God is dwelling among us, his people, and his dwelling will be with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. Now look at this, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. Look at that. No more mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. And he was seated on the throne and he said, I am making everything new. You read on further down. He says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He gives to the thirsty waters from life. He makes sure that all of his adopted sons and daughters inherit victory in the life to come in his heaven. He calls them his children. Read this wonderful book. He makes everything new. And where everything is new, everyone rejoices. There's a new heaven, there's a new earth, and you will receive a new body. And by the way, when you get to heaven, I truly believe, as you see in Revelation chapter 5, we talked about it just a bit, but the Bible says that there's a throng. There's a mighty throng of people. Guess what? There'll be a reunion. Heaven's not heaven because my dad is there. I look forward to seeing him. Heaven's not heaven because my mom is there. I look forward to being reunited with her. Or my grandmother. Or people that I've known throughout the years that have named the name of Christ. Heaven is heaven because the Lord Jesus is there. And sin is not. Sin will never be allowed to enter into his heaven. If it did, it wouldn't be heaven. And so what does he do? New heaven, new earth, new you, and reunion. No more sea between you and God. No more separation between you and him. There'll be rejoicing in the throng of those who are the redeemed. And guess what? You'll receive a reward. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, 5, that you will reign victoriously with our Lord over death. And it's no wonder that in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, here's what the Bible says. This verse 17, the Spirit and the bride, that's the church. They say, come, let anyone who hears come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of water of life come. Don't miss heaven. You don't have to miss heaven. There are people who like to tell us or convince themselves and drag others into this lie that you see, when you die, you just go into a forever kind of sleep. That's not what the Bible says. You know, the Bible talks about that which is unredeemed, unredeemed sin. And all throughout the book of Revelation, you can see where that judgment place is and what it looks like and what it sounds like and what it smells like. Oh, but listen, you don't have to go there. You can be in heaven. Don't miss it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there were some that would say, listen, there is no resurrection, so let's eat and drink and be happy, for tomorrow we'll die. In other words, let's just abuse our pleasures. All these wonderful gifts that God has given to us, all these evidences of his kindness and goodness, all of these assurances that he is near and that his provisions are real. Hey, listen, let's just indulge ourselves. Let's just kind of live it to the max. I mean, let's make sure that we overwhelm our senses even and just enjoy this old life. Are you one of those kinds of people that you abuse the blessings of God? Maybe you haven't intended to, maybe you haven't meant to, but in retrospect, as looking back, you may have done just exactly that. Oh, let's just live it up for today and tomorrow we'll die and no worries until then, and there's no worries even then. That verse is followed by these words, bad company corrupts good morals. In other words, there's a lot of folks talking that trash. It'll corrupt you. Man, listen, don't miss heaven. Because your mortal body will take on immortality. Think of this for a moment. That which is sown in the earth will be raised in glory when you read the rest of that wonderful chapter. Death, where is your sting? There is no sting because death has been swallowed up in victory. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's what the early Christians would say to one another as they passed one another. He is risen. He is risen indeed. You will rise again as well. There'll be a resurrection for you. Jesus talked to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born from above. He said, man, I've already been born once. How can I retrace those steps? He didn't understand that two births equal one death. But for those who have only been born in this world and born of the flesh, have never responded to the invitation to be born from above, their one death, their one birth will mean two deaths, a physical death and an eternal death. Born twice, born once, die twice. Oh man, listen. You want to go to heaven. It's not on this earth. It's not in this place. Oh, there's glimpses, there's shadows. There's ways that we're drawn to see the glory of God. The earth declares the glory of God is what the scripture says. The earth belongs to the Lord and everything that's in it. We know this is all the Lord's, but guess what? This is a broken world, and we're filled with broken people, and death is absolutely going to happen. But guess what? God says resurrection is hope. So after the cross, there's the crown. And you and I are invited today to receive that life, the life of the Lord Jesus. It's a life full of grace. It'll leave you in wonder. It'll move you to tears. It'll drop you to your knees. It'll open up your mouth, and you'll talk to people about the newness of what only God could provide by grace for you. This is a great day. This is a holy day. And this is a holy moment. And if you are here watching me now, and you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you've trusted your churchmanship, and you've trusted your doctrine, and you've trusted your ritual or your observances or the habits of many years to gain you access into His glory, come to Christ, to the resurrected one, to the Lord that loves you. And to prove it, He died on a cross. And to validate it, He burst forth from a tomb. Death could not hold Him. Don't let death hold you. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Want some life today? Easter Sunday? I can't think of a better day to say yes to Christ. If you're here today, you've never known Christ. You're watching because someone's welcomed you, invited you, and asked you to, or because it's Easter and it's kind of the thing to do. I want you to know that the Lord loves you, and this is your invitation to receive Him and to anticipate your resurrection. Why? Because of your redemption provided for you through Christ. Let's pray. Would you join me? Father in heaven, blows my mind that when the world was wrecked, that you came to rescue. I would have started over. I would have thrown it all away and I said, let's begin again. But you didn't. And Lord, this broken world, you're going to refashion. The paradise lost is going to be the paradise gained. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new us. who are in Christ. Lord, these bodies that age, these bodies that are ravaged with disease and limitation, these hearts, Lord, that know grief and cry tears. Lord, this world that is mean-spirited and selfish, and if we're honest, so are we. All of this will be done away with. Lord, you've provided that through your Son, Jesus. And now you call people to you right now, this very moment. You're welcoming people to receive your grace. And they could pray just like this and come into new life. Oh God, I know that Jesus came and died for me, took the penalty that I deserved, took my sin upon himself so that I would not be punished. I turn to him at this moment. I trust him for what he's done. I gladly welcome Christ to be Lord of my life at this moment. I turn from my sin, I turn to him. Thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you for the life of now and yet the life to come. I'm yours. Or if they're believers, Lord, that have followed you and grown weary or distant, they might want to pray like this. Lord Jesus, resurrection reminds me of what you promised me, not because I'm deserving, not because I'm worthy, but because that's the place that you reserved for your sons and your daughters. Lord, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. I've been wayward, kind of done my thing, but Lord, things around me now in this old world have reminded me that I'm so small. I'm just a person with a desperate need. And Lord, it's not just for cure of disease, it's for remedy for sin. I'm a guilty one. So forgive me, Lord, and I come back home. Forgive me, oh God. Cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord, because you love truth to be in the inmost part, and I want my life to reflect all of you and all of me. So my life is yours. Amen. So maybe here today, Easter Sunday, you prayed one of those prayers. Turn to Christ and we're redeemed, forgiven, tasted grace, a new person in Christ. Old things passed away, everything become new. Maybe today as a believer, you've come home. You said resurrection has reminded me that life is fragile, but there is a forever. I'm temporary, but there's an eternity. And the things of this world have reminded me that I'm small. And God, that I really need you. I'm coming home. We're going to sing. And whatever you need to do to make your appeal before God or just to worship him at this moment, do that now on Resurrection Sunday, Easter morning, right now, at this time, at this place.
God sent your son. They called him Jesus. He came to you. life is worth the living just because he lived. And then one day gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory, and I'll know he reigns, because he lives. Life is worth the living just because he lived.
Hey, did you get that word? That Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven. Because we're not in heaven yet, guess what? God's preparing you for his heaven. And sometimes it's pandemics that get our attention. Sometimes it's financial fall that really kind of stirs our sense of eternal inquisitiveness. And I want you to know that every answer for all of your questions are in this book. And the Lord that loves you has revealed himself. And on Resurrection Day, I pray that you'll follow him with all your heart. Now we're going to dismiss. Before we do, I just want to pray blessing over you and ask God to do a good work in you, and thank you for giving as you have. And I think Aileen might still be out there, but storms are coming, so I just hope that you'll be able to participate as you want to. But I want to put a heavenly blessing on you. The priest would say over the people of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You see, no fear. Peace. Have a great, great Easter. You are loved.